Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
God, do I have a red enough face? Why is my face so red?
I guess only you would know.
Good man.
Maybe you're just enjoying the southern redneck style.
I'm now a redneck, literally.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show with
Doug Sprinthal,
Mike Gelfand,
and Andy Rampernard.
Now we're cooking with gas. So what's going on? You two been schmoozing, have you?
Yeah, we've been talking about the joys of employment.
The joys of employment are good. Employment is a good thing. There's no question about that. God, you know what's interesting? I had a couple of guests on this morning on the show. One of them was from Scotland. The other one was from Key West. And the one thing that they brought up, one's from Scotland, not even from America, is the hatred that's being spewed on the news around the world. It's not just in America.
Yeah.
My God, everybody just hates everybody.
You know, America's number one export to other countries is our news, unfortunately.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? Why? I mean, I understand you can have your differences and you're left, you're right, you're centrist, whatever it is, you're a Democrat, you're a Republican, but hatred? I really don't understand it. Why are people in, what caused that, do you think?
Well, you know, I think, a lot of it begins with what we call identity politics.
Yeah.
If the person who lives next door, or it could be your brother-in-law, if they don't vote the way you do, then they're just, they're pieces of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's exactly how they feel. It's not just you disagree with me. You're a horrible person.
Yeah, which is true in many cases, but still.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, you're the one to ask about hating people. That is true.
Oh, come on now.
Hateful as they get.
I don't have time for hate.
Well, you're a Jew, so I'm glad to hear that, because you guys are going through a hell of a deal right now. It's, Mike, I just cannot believe what's happening to the Jews. I can't.
Well, I mean, look at history. I mean, in the larger context, it's not very surprising.
There's a whole book about it.
Yeah.
Well, the first half, anyway.
Yeah.
The first half of the book's about it. But first of all, why would you want to take your time and energy hating any? I don't hate anybody. There's some people I don't like.
Yeah.
But I don't hate anybody. It's too much waste of time.
Yeah, that's the way I look at it. Why should I spend time hating people when I can get down on the fourth race at Tampa Bay Downs?
See, now you're talking.
It's no priorities. Question. It's all about priorities.
It's got to be productive.
Well, and I blame people like Doug because, he grew up around that, college education deal, and they've destroyed America. So, way to go,
yeah,
Doug.
Yeah.
It's your parents' fault.
It's all those horrible engineers and doctors all over the place building stuff and helping people.
We
don't need colleges.
We have our guest on the line.
Oh, Owen's already. Owen, how
are
you?
Hello. I'm 16 years old.
You're
I'm 16 going on 17. That's what I say whenever I play. I'm 16 and I play like I'm 17. So.
Okay, when are you going to be 17?
April. April's coming up, man.
Oh my God. Next month you'll be 17 years old. So where'd you grow up, Evan?
Well, I grew up in Rosemont, Minnesota, but I like to say I'm from Canyon, Minnesota. My grandfather had a farm there.
Oh, okay.
And I lived there for 12 years till he passed away. And I like to call that place home, yeah.
What, mom and dad give you the stiff arm? Go live with grandpa. Get away from
exactly. Me. No, you understand. Yeah. No, they just said, no, go there. We don't want you here. Go work there. Go do some stuff there. Yeah. Always need help.
You must really miss the Koch brothers smokestack there, huh?
Oh, yeah. I pass by there all the time off 52.
Sure.
55.
Sure.
Yeah, 52. Yep. Is there.
This is it's going to be fun here. Owen Evans with us this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Minnesota boy is making his way, the Frost. And we're lucky today, Owen, because you're not the only musician in studio. We got Doug Sprinthal. How many years have you been in and out of bands, Dougie?
I'm retired. No, I played my first band when I was 14, so that was 51 years ago.
However many years.
So, Owen, when did you start?
Gosh, I started in middle school, and I'm 16 now, so 4 or 5 years ago.
So yeah. About 11 years. That's when I started. Yeah. I was in a band starting at 11 years old, too. I played the drums in a band at 11 years old. And what attracted you both to... Doug, I can't see you. You're off camera.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're going to move toward the middle a little. There you go. That's perfect. So anyway, what drove both of you to band? First of all, I want to hear you two guys talking about bands because I am fascinated by that. Two musicians talking to one another about what it means to be a musician.
Dude,
you know, a band.
You know the reason. That's not that complicated.
Yeah, I know.
Chicks, man.
Girls.
Oh, yeah.
Duh.
One goes, yeah.
That's the right answer.
But
is it true that
the drummer always winds up on top? I don't mean that literally, but...
Well, in bands, there's the ongoing battle. It's chicken or egg. Who's leading the band, the bass player or the drummer?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
And they all think they are, and the guitar players go, "You guys just knock it off."
I haven't been able to play with a band yet. I'm always playing like by myself. I'll do like open mic nights in Lakeville all the time. But no, I wish I could play with a band. It's way more fun because like I play a lot of slower songs, but if I got a drummer or something, I can just get the people going, play Country Roads, and everybody starts singing. Like, it's great.
If you know a couple of blues tunes, I can recommend some places that I'd love to have you.
Oh, thanks, man. I'm constantly looking for places to play.
Well, go on Facebook. There's the Minnesota Blues Society, and it's a really active scene, and it's fun. I've been out of work all winter, and so this has been my bowling night. So I have different friends that run them. And it's kind of like Little League, where everybody gets to play, and a lot of the players are terrible. But there's a couple of kids, there's a couple of shortstops that can just wing it and, hit it, opposite field and stuff like that. So it's a very supportive thing. It does limit itself to blues music typically, but there's a really good one on every other Sunday at a VFW in Bloomington. That's just it's kind of like watching a Fellini movie, actually, with a cast of characters that show up, but it's fun. And some great players, too.
No, I could see that to be true. Now, Owen, I'm looking at a picture of you. You're sitting on sitting down. You got a guitar on your lap.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I even bring that up, and Doug will understand it. Well, everybody will understand this. So Doug and Owen, guitar players, all the rest of it. Whenever I would go to do an appearance, you go into the bar, and these young women come over. Oh, are you in the band? I said, yeah, I'm in the band.
Yeah.
It was called Take Five was the name of the band at the time. Yeah, I'm in Take Five, absolutely. Really? That's so great. That's wonderful. So what do you do in the band? I go, I'm the drummer. And they go, oh. That's very true, by the way. Oh, you're the drummer? Oh, great. That's wonderful.
Oh, that's cool.
that's really cool. How did it all get started for you, Owen? How old were you when you said, I want to be playing music?
Well, I was on the radio yesterday, I was on WCCO, and I kind of told them, I was like, I constantly was watching my great uncles play. And for years, we had big parties that we called Boomer Fest, because that's our last name, is Boomers. But anyway, in these parties, I'd watch them play, and constantly, that was like what I wanted to play. And I started playing at 11, in middle school. And
yeah, right.
That was kind of my inspiration was my uncles. And this new song that came out a couple weeks ago, just another memory on my mind. It's with my uncles. And my uncle Randy, he wrote the song. And they constantly wanted him to release it. And he never did, but I got him to do it with me. So, no, they're my inspiration. And that's kind of when I started was middle school. So.
Yeah, it's kind of wonderful. I suppose I was inspired by my father when I was very little. My father was a really good harmonica player. That boy could play a harmonica, man. It was unbelievable. It's the only talent he had because he sucked as a father. But anyway, moving forward from there.
Most harmonica players are shitty dads.
He sold his soul to the devil.
But Junior Parker, horrible father.
That's just how it goes. There's no question about it. No, but being in a band is very cool. Like I said, I was about 11. I think I was 11 to 19. I played in a band. And it is a lot of fun going on tour and all the rest of it. There's a lot of excitement. Just to be up on stage having people, clapping for you, it's a very special experience.
It's surreal. Yeah, it's really fun.
There's no question about it. Dougie, what do you think?
Well, I have an alternate. I think it's like having five girlfriends. Everybody thinks that having five girlfriends would be cool until you actually have five girlfriends, and it's a total pain. Playing in bands is terrible. I mean, if everybody, there has to be such a confluence of factors to make it enjoyable. Everybody has to be pretty close to the same talent level, which is important, but their personalities have to get along as well. And it's, you know, when you get four or five people that are good musicians and are flexible and grown up, that's rare. I mean, look at the famous rock bands.
Yeah.
They kicked Lindsey Buckingham out of Fleetwood Mac. These guys are all millionaires, and they're acting like they're, no offense, Owen, 15.
One of you people.
I see how it is.
It's just unbelievable. The guys that I admire, though, are the Rolling Stones. Mick Jagger's in his 80s, and he's running around. He's running 5 miles a day before a show at 80 years old so he can entertain the troops. That just blows my mind.
He's got the moves.
I'm 15, and I'm telling you right now, I don't run before I play.
Well, you don't have to.
That's true.
Well, there's one thing we got to mention about Mick Jagger, too. He's like 5'1 and weighs about 80 pounds.
Yeah, that's true.
It doesn't take a lot of force to move that body around,
that's right.
I guess.
Exactly. No, he actually is about, what, 5'6", something like that?
Yeah, he's diminutive, let's say that.
I like how 5'6 is diminutive to you. It's average, isn't it?
I don't
5'6", 5'7"?
It's average to me. I know that.
Well, that's the thing. It depends on who you are. But you're like, 8 feet tall. So.
I know. I'm sorry.
Well, Google says he's 5'10", but I don't know if I believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and pumps.
Yeah, maybe.
5'10".
Tim Pawlenty was over, some monument over in Indy or something or whatever. They said the weirdest thing happened because I'm just enthralled by all the beauty of all this, that, and the other thing. And I look up, and walking down the stairs that I'm walking up is Mick Jagger with his then-girlfriend, and I don't remember who it was. He told me, but I don't remember her name. He said Mick and his girlfriend are walking down the stairs, and she is literally a foot taller than he is.
Was married to, what was her? She's a model, Jerry Hall.
Yeah, Jerry Hall.
She's six feet tall. I mean,
she was
gorgeous, but she had very tall woman.
Yeah, she was indeed. There's no question. So, Owen, what's your ultimate goal? What do you want to do with your, you're doing well locally. The amazing thing about the world now is you're local, you're statewide, you're United States-wide, or you're worldwide. I mean, you can be exposed to everybody at the drop of a hat. That's pretty interesting.
My ultimate goal, just get as much as I can out before I have responsibilities. I'm in high school. Like, my only responsibility right now is school. So, and I don't do sports, so I treat this as my sport and, I try to have fun with it as I do it, and that's my goal. Just get more stuff out and have fun while I'm doing it.
Now, is like your grandfather, or your parents listening right now? Is that what you're indicating?
Yeah, I'm assuming they're listening. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
The funny thing is, they're always saying like, "Hey, when you're famous, you get me backstage tickets." Mm. And I don't see that at all. but I'm gonna have fun while I'm here doing my thing.
It is fun to be in a band when you're a teenager. And Doug, you were there a higher level than I was, but it is fun to be in a band when you're a teenager. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a passion, and you want to play all the time, and it's great.
Oh, yes, I love playing instruments. I have much musical talent.
So have you ever wanted to play an instrument, either Michael Gelfand or Andy?
I mean, if I could snap my fingers and be a musician, sure, but it's a lot of effort.
Yeah, the only thing I could really accomplish with my fingers beat for punchline was just typing. So that's how I became a writer, because I could type, but I couldn't really play an instrument.
Yeah, I'm great on the keyboard, just not that keyboard.
Yeah, exactly.
I suppose that's true. I love this stat. Owen released his first single, Running, in 2023 with 57,000 listens across all platforms. That's very impressive, Owen.
I don't know how, but I'm excited that people listen to it and they enjoy it. So I've gotten good feedback. So it makes me happy, man. Really happy.
Do you lean toward country, or is that exclusively what you play?
I exclusively play country, but I'm trying to explore some new stuff. Whenever I go to a bar, somebody's always like, "You got to play this song." And I'm like, "I don't know that song." So I'm constantly trying to learn new stuff and just get everything that people like and whatever.
You know, the first country song I ever heard, because I grew up in North Minneapolis, not a lot of country music being played in North Minneapolis, but I got attracted to, and I don't remember who the artist was. Doug, you would know this, I'm certain. I got attracted to country music because one of the titles, and I love the titles of country music, by the way. They're very, very inventive, very, very impressive. But I started listening to country music after I heard a song, You Can Have Your Kate and Edith Too.
I don't, Mike's more of a country expert, I think, than I am.
I don't think that was a big hit, you know. I mean, I'm not familiar with that. I'm familiar with a lot of country songs with great titles, you know, like She's Acting Single and I'm Drinking Doubles.
Yes,
she got the gold mine and I got the shaft.
But, but that one, you know, the one I mentioned, of course, that was, what was his name? Gary, he was like a, his thing was sort of like hillbilly country. But he was Gary Stewart.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he was really good. I've got some of his stuff. And, but he was true to the country legend. He did shoot himself.
Oh God! Well, aren't you happy to be on such an upbeat show?
Well, so many of these country singers, you know, going back to when I started listening to country, which was in the '60s, you know, so many of them came to a very bad ending.
Yeah,
And a lot of them, of course. Exactly. Mm-hmm. They grew up, you know, and they grew up. And a lot of them grew up like in West Virginia. And so today they'd be doing meth, but back then it was just drinking.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but the Coca-Cola had cocaine in it, so, you know.
So it's okay.
It did. Back in those days, it did.
That was like 1894.
Yes, it was.
60s, 1890s, it's all the same.
That's
to
the
me.
Same
What's
thing?
The difference?
It's really nice to meet you guys. You know, this is fun.
You're learning a lot.
Fun stuff.
Learn a lot about how
a lot of fun
that.
Stuff.
Oh, not to act. So, Owen, do you go on the road? I mean, are you doing that thing yet?
I wish I was going on the road. Right now I'm playing – I live in Rosemont, so I'm playing a lot in Dakota County. In the summer I'm playing Dakota County Fair. And that was actually my first gig last year. So my first, like, big gig anyway. And I play a lot locally. So I'd love to go play on the road, though, eventually, once I get a little bigger of a fan base and stuff like that, yeah.
I think of Rosemont, I think of the story about there's a strip joint right by the Rosemont.
It's been closed for 15 years. You're talking about Jake's.
Jake's, that was it, yeah.
So not in Rosemont, it's in Coles.
Oh, man, this is fun.
Well, theoretically, yeah, but it's right next to it. And Jake.
Oh, and we got to defend Rosemont. I live in by Evermore, just so you know.
Okay, yeah, that's awesome.
All right, go ahead, Gelfand.
Well, I was just going to say the deal with Jake, I don't know if the guy's name really was Jake, but he ran for mayor. And then there was some suggestion that there might have been some fraud involved, because there were like 50 strippers who all voted for him, and they all listed their address as at Jake's Bar. So unfortunately, he never really got to be the mayor. It's very sad.
Yeah, that bill. We drove by there. My sister lives in Rochester, and Jake's is gone. The building isn't even there anymore.
Oh,
the only thing
really?
That's there is the House of Coats.
I'm glad you told me that. So I was going to stop by this afternoon.
The two for
Pay
one.
Your respects.
The elbow bender,
you know,
special.
I won't say who this is, but I, Owen, have a, I'll just say it's a relative that I have who set a record for being thrown out of Jake's. It cannot be easy to be thrown out of a strip bar, can it?
I think it's easy if you know what to do.
I had a friend of mine that got thrown out of Rick's because he had these women convinced that he was Steve Winwood, which was odd because Bubba was 6'2 and about 300, and he wound up in the mud wrestling pit and wrestling a couple of women, and they decided that they didn't need Steve Winwood in the bar anymore.
Yes, that does happen. There's
That's
no question.
So sad.
Owen is going, what in the hell have I got myself into?
And you accused me of telling bummer stories.
I'm enjoying this, man. This is great.
This is the real world. What, you know, what's great for Owen, this is giving you an example of how wonderful my life is, because I got to interview Tony Kern, who's one of the greatest Scottish actors out there. He's got a new movie coming out. He plays King Edward I, and I'm laughing and joking with him. And then we have a couple people on, one from Key West, one is in town. Matter of fact, Andy's going to meet with him after the show. and then you come on. I love that about my life, that you're interviewing people from three different places on Earth, and you have a ball, you have fun doing it. It's great.
Yeah.
You know, which I think is very good. Doug, you got into that whole deal, didn't you?
Which whole deal?
You know, being on a show, you interview people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that was fun. I think interviewing people is harder than people know.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, absolutely. You're a natural at it. But I think that I'd say 70% of the people, if you know what buttons to push, you can get good stories out of them.
Oh, yeah.
We've had a couple over the years on the Car Selling Secrets podcast that, you know, outside of here, they're gregarious and outgoing and got a million stories.
Yeah.
And you put a mic on them.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's like name, rank, and serial number.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's new exciting in your world? Nothing.
I
Where are we in the night of the 17th? I prefer not to answer. It's like, dude, you're so effing boring.
I don't do things.
You sound like the comedians we've had on the show.
That's right.
Sometimes. That's cold.
Sometimes.
I hope I'm better than that.
Oh, you're fine.
Oh, you're fine, yeah.
Well, and you're doing it.
You're killing it.
Welcome to come back.
So I got a question for you, Owen. Rosemont High School, is that where you go?
Yes, sir.
You guys got the best marching band in the planet. Do you have any friends that are
crazy.
On that?
It's crazy. We have – so we go out to football and, we'll play at the football stadium, and, of course, the band comes out on the football stadium at halftime. Everybody is going insane. They treat it like a cult. It's crazy. Everybody is in it, and if you're not, you'll get yelled at by somebody who's in charge. Like, you need to start screaming for the band right now. And, oh, man – no, our band is crazy. Our football team is crazy.
Yeah.
I love going to Rosemont.
Years ago, my wife and I rode bikes to, it was Rudy's Red Eye Grill, and we cut through the high school. And it's like 5 in the afternoon in the summertime, and the band's out there practicing. Mm-hmm. And we got done at the bar riding bikes home 3 hours later, and they're still out practicing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, holy buckets, this is not the band that I grew up in.
I live miles away from the school,
yeah.
And I'll be sitting in my backyard, and I can hear them for like 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah,
playing. I'm like, holy moly, they practice a lot.
So our listener Joe wants to know if you plan on playing at Leprechaun Days.
Leprechaun Days. I was invited, but I haven't. Well, actually, no, I wasn't invited. I have a bunch of people that want me to play there, though. I would love to play there. Because they got some pretty cool bands that come there, and it'd be a cool experience.
Should
you know, that's the whole town that comes.
Try Panaprog too in Lakeville.
Okay,
that's their big festival. It stands short for Panorama of Progress, which just could they have come up with a worse name? Hey, it's Panaprog.
Panaprog,
it's bad.
It sounds like a drug.
It does.
Leprechaun Days is fun though. I have enjoyed it since I was a little kid. Yeah. So it'd be really cool to go play there. Absolutely.
They asked me to be the Grand Marshal, but I took it as an insult.
Yes, absolutely. Why wouldn't you?
Right.
Yeah, Leprechaun.
The hat was just too big.
Yes, that was the major problem. All right, so Owen, your appearance is coming up in the next, say, 3, 4, 5 weeks. You got some, because after you've been on now, people are going to want to come and see you.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I had a song that just came out two weeks ago. Yeah, and this Friday I have a song coming out. The cool thing is this is my first time doing collaborations. So I did a collaboration with my uncles on the last song that just came out, and it's my fastest growing song ever. Like my first song, it took a few months for it to get to like even 1,000 people listening to it on Spotify, and this one in like 4 days, boom. For me that's crazy. So but anyway, we got a song coming out with my buddy Alon Blust, and he's got some songs on Spotify and everything else. And the cool thing about that song is I'm more of a high tenor, and he's got that low Johnny Cash bass. So,
oh, yeah.
Oh, I just love it. It's a cool, cool song. And the thing I like about these new songs that I'm producing is they're all got that old-timey feel, which is the songs that I like to do. And I think there's a difference between the songs that you like to do and a lot of the times the songs that people will really like. So
yeah.
I don't know. I really love it, and I hope everybody else enjoys it and sees the fun and the process of doing it. A third song that's just me singing, and it's got that just acoustic feel. And no, I'm super, super excited. And, you know, I couldn't have done it without my producer, Greg Huberty. So It's really exciting. So this Friday, the one with my buddy Alon, it's called Wildflowers, is coming out. And then 2 weeks from now, the next Friday, it's going to be my song Shattered. So I'm excited, man. It's super exciting.
The audience would like to know, yes, where to find these songs.
Yes.
Where to find these songs. Any streaming service that you listen to. You know, I promote all my music. I need to get a website. I'm working on that right now. But I promote all my music on my Facebook page, Owen Evans Music. And then I'm getting told I need to mention. A while ago, I produced a song called The Frost. And the cool thing about it is, do you guys know Soul Asylum?
My stepbrother Dan Murphy.
Oh yeah, that's cool. So I got to do a writing class with Ryan Smith, and that's how I wrote the song The Frost, and that was a really cool experience. So I don't know, all my music, it's just been a really cool experience, up and downs, and it's been a roller coaster, man.
It is a wonderful thing. You got to come back on the show once in a while and tell us how things are going. Obviously.
Absolutely, man. I'd love to come back.
All right. Well, tell your producer there to pipe down. I'll handle it.
All right.
Owen, you're a good guy. You got to come back.
Absolutely, man. I'd love to.
Thanks, pal. Have a good day.
All right. You too, man.
Is that text you're sending so important that you missed your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw & Bryant.
Tom here. For years, you've heard me talk about my friends at North American Banking Company. They have great online and mobile banking options, plus friendly employees who are always ready to help. And with their location in Maple Grove now open, it's even more convenient for me and my family. Go visit my friends at any one of their 6 Twin Cities locations or go online to nabankco.com to learn more. Why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. You all have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today and have trusted in Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. Mike's latest incredible deal is on the Giza Dream Sheets, which you've heard me rave about before, that's for sure. These sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza. They are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. Right now, the Giza Dream Sheets at its lowest price ever. These sheets are 60% off, coming in as low as $39.99 with promo code TOM.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Frost, introducing Owen Evans, 16-year-old Owen Evans. What a nice kid.
Yeah. Yes,
and I will play The Frost at the end of the show.
You're going to play The Frost at the end of the show?
We have a copy of it here to play on the show.
That is magnificent. You don't have the vinyl, do you?
I don't have the vinyl.
Where would you play it if you did have the vinyl?
Yeah.
There's nothing left to play it on anyway.
I have never owned a turntable in my life.
Come over to my house.
Yeah.
My sister has a turntable, actually. Not me, though.
I will tell you. I got to be honest with you, and I don't know it's a prejudice or what it is, but listening to songs on vinyl, I always think it sounds phenomenal.
See, it's interesting.
Is that wrong, Doug?
People who grew up with vinyls, everyone, they all like the vinyl sound. Mm. I grew up with cassettes, And no one likes the cassettes.
They're coming back. Cassettes are coming back now. Yeah,
I can't even imagine.
A lot of underground indie bands are only releasing stuff on cassettes now, and I think it's just to be annoying.
Well, of course, it's a gimmick. Yeah, like even when I was a kid, I was like, "Wow, these things are awful."
Yeah. No, I share the nostalgia of records, and that's why I never got rid of them. And I listen to them. There's something about them, and it's the noise. You know, they get crackles, snap pops in them, pops, and I love the artwork on a lot of the albums. That's something that's lost in the digital world. But from a pure acoustic thing, it's not the same as digital. Digital now is just so pristine, and
it's clean as it gets.
Albums, you're actually limited to the dynamic range that you could put on there. In other words, you can't engineer an album vinyl record with too much bass because it'll blow out the grooves and you can't even play it.
Yep.
So a lot of modern music, you would not be able to, it would sound totally different on an LP because they'd have to re-cue the record so that you could even physically play the thing.
So Andy, did you hold on to all those Beatle albums I gave you? I gave half to you and half to Alex.
Yeah, they're in a plastic Dealey.
I think I gave Alex a collection of mono mixes, Beatle records for her wedding.
I think that was a
wedding present. Yeah, they just released the original mono mixes, like the first six records. I'm like, she's a big Beatles fan. This would be perfect.
Well, this supposedly, I don't know if this is true. You probably know more about this than I would, but back when I worked at Capitol Records, Japan did a pressing of all the Beatles songs, and apparently their technology at the time was far superior to everybody else's. Huh. And so the Andy has half of them, Alex has the other half of the Japanese Beatles albums, and the sound is spectacular.
Wow.
Didn't you think, Andy?
Yeah.
I mean, it really is good. There's no question about that. But how cool is that? Because I remember being 16 years old and being in a band. I thought I was a big deal. There's no question about that. You're up on stage at 16 years old, and people are cheering for you, and that's an interesting feeling, I will tell you that.
That was so funny when you said, so what got you guys into bands? And I said, you know the answer. Yeah. And we simultaneously, Owen and I go, girls.
We all know girls.
He's figured it out already.
But again, I have to make it very, very clear. So, God, it's so great you're in one of the bands? Oh, that's wonderful. You're in a band. That's so cool. What do you play? You're a drummer. Okay.
Well, I get, you know, Sarah and I have played in bands together many times and still go to jam sessions from time to time. And she's such a terrific singer that you're invisible when she starts singing.
She's a great
nobody
singer,
else
yes.
will recognize anybody. And the people have walked right. We're sitting right next to each other. And guys will walk up and start hitting on and say, God, your band's really good and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, hello. Literally, I'm literally right here, like the kids say today. Literally,
yeah, literally. Literally, literally.
All right, so the audience wants to know what's been going on with you, if you can
talk about it.
Oh, here we go.
So, and this was the reason, this is probably going to take 5 or 10 minutes, so go have a snack, whatever, and I'll get you updated on what's new in the world. So after a long period of unemployment, and I do want to talk about that as a separate thing, I'm taking a position. I start Monday. I'm running the sales team at Harry Brown's down in Faribault. It's a second-generation family-run dealership. They carry new vehicles. They're Chevrolet and GMC, and then the Chrysler 4-pack, as we call it, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. So I'll be starting down there Monday. It was started by Harry himself, who I guess still has an office and comes in his 80s, and he started it as a used car lot in 1968, and think about that. You know, America's on fire, riots everywhere, we're fighting Vietnam. It's like, we just need another used car lot.
And all those cars were just, they weren't good.
No, they were terrible. And so, you know, 58 years later, I'll be going down there. And I've enjoyed meeting him. I knew one of the brothers that own it and run it through Facebook because we're both boaters, and he had done something called the Great Loop, which is down the Mississippi, around Florida, up the East Coast, through the Great Lakes, so on and so forth. So it was interesting. But I do want to spend some time talking about, and don't send me questions about deals. I don't even know where the bathrooms are in this place yet. Give me a week, and then please reach out. I've had a lot of people over the winter with car questions and advice, and I'll help anybody. I mean, that's just the way it is. But I don't know that much about the dealership yet, but I will shortly. But I wanted to talk about the whole unemployment thing because it was really interesting. And I learned an awful lot. It is psychologically challenging to be unemployed for a long time. Yeah, and I will tell you, there were people that would reach out at a regular basis just to check in and maybe go to lunch a little bit. And Tom, you were one of them. I'm not kissing your ass, but you have no idea how much those phone calls meant. And Jimmy Francis, Peter Bourne, a whole bunch of other people that some of you guys don't know. And just simple things like, hey, let me take you to lunch. Because really what you're doing is sitting around working LinkedIn, waiting for jobs to post, and it's a lot of hurry up and wait. It is tedious. It's boring. And, of course, you know, I'm pretty financially conservative, and having no income, we didn't go out to dinner. We, you know, Sarah and I just sort of hunkered down and watched TV all winter. So for those of you in the support group, thank you very much. You have no idea how much all that meant.
Oh, you're really making me feel bad about blocking you now.
Well, I never expected the Jewish people to help.
Oh, okay. Well, I know a couple of groups you can join.
Yeah. But I had a guest lined up. I met her. She is a career counselor at something called CareerWorks, which is an agency that helps unemployed people. I learned a lot about the Minnesota unemployment system. And I will tell you, it's fantastic. So I did file for benefits, and I did receive them. But it's much more than that. They really have all these different groups of people that will help either retrain, give you interview skills, so on and so forth. This woman that was going to be on, and her bosses, whoever they are, this is so stupid. She said, I just can't get clearance because we're not sure it's our target audience, and they want time to prep me. I'm like, okay, we never prep people.
Prep you. It's not a colonoscopy.
Yeah, that's right. So, but she was terrific, and I learned a lot about networking through LinkedIn. And here's some advice I will give to people that have great jobs. You will have a great job until the day that you don't. Don't wait till you don't have a great job to work on your LinkedIn profile. There's so many things you can do to enhance it. One of the things that she suggested, and this was really probably one of the most moving things that happened, recruiters will look through your recommendations, see what people have written about you. And she had said that, you know, it's not uncommon just to write your own recommendations, send them out to your friends, and then they rewrite them and post them. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. It'd be too fakey. So I posted on there, and I asked for recommendations. I said, not force, and I said, don't make anything up, but, you know, if you have 5 minutes, I'd really appreciate it. I was crying at some of them. I mean, from people I never expected would have responded, and the nice things they said, it was really, really wonderful. I don't think that helped me get into Harry Brown's, because I knew Mike Brown, and in the car business, you're pretty connected locally. But it was just the psychological lift from that was just wonderful. So keep up on your LinkedIn profile, post once in a while. Unfortunately, LinkedIn is almost getting as bad as Facebook. It's just, there's professional posts, and then there's that effing Biden or Trump's terrible. It's like, take that shit over to Facebook. Get off LinkedIn.
It's becoming like the Gen X Facebook almost.
It is. Yeah, a little bit, but it is. I mean, I've got, it's like Facebook friends. I've got, I think, 1,800 first connections, and it's all in the automotive industry and sales and stuff. So it's really, for if you're in a career at all, it's a great way to network. And that's where I found almost all the jobs that I was interested in. I didn't take everything that I could have. I really figured out what I didn't want to do. You know, traveling around the country, leaving Sunday night and then getting home Friday night. I like my wife. I don't want to be on the road five or six nights a week. I could do it for a week, but for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks out of the month, no thank you. So I'm really excited to do what I've always loved to do, which is help sell cars and so on and so forth. So stand by. It's that's what's new in my world. And if you wind up unemployed, don't be afraid of the Minnesota unemployment system. There's a shitload of people out there that are just waiting to help you. I took a couple of classes that I'd been remiss in keeping up on and Excel and all that sort of stuff. I'm like, I got to do something because I've never served in the Army, but I suspect that it's kind of like being in the Army where it's horribly boring and then suddenly terrifying in really short periods of time. And some of these big company recruiting systems, F you, Ford Motor Company. I've applied for 3 jobs there. I'm still under consideration since Thanksgiving.
Whoa.
They're not really on it.
And this is something that I swear that I'll do, because I will be in the market for salespeople and managers and so on and so forth. I promise to answer every inquiry that I get, and because the modern way is they just ghost you. It's just
pfft. Yep.
And the other thing is, I probably could have retired had I been vindictive and wanted to take people to court. You can't. There is such a thing. Let me put it this way: the market for white guys in their 60s isn't quite as strong as I'd previously thought it was.
But you can't say something like.
Well, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And you can always buffalo an answer to that. You know, I think I'll be doing such a great job that you want to promote me. Well, how about 10 years? It's like, okay.
Sitting behind your desk.
That's right.
Yeah, it's kind of tough there, you know, because now you're okay, but pretty soon you enter the next age group, which is the 70 to death group.
70 to death. Now we're talking. That sounds very friendly, very nice.
But it's like, guys, don't be stupid. What are you doing? You can't do that. I mean, I'm not an HR professional, but even I know what the rules are.
Yep. Joe says that the Louisville Assembly plant is hiring, if you want to go down there and put cars together.
Yep.
Something you always wanted to do.
He's heading down there now.
Fords are dead to me. General Motors, Stellantis, rah, rah, rah. We'll see what happens with Stellantis there. It's going to be an interesting year.
You and I should get together sometime and just, you know, to chat about what an asshole Henry Ford was.
I know he was. He's very
smart.
Just because
he was an anti-Semite, but other than that.
That Hitler thing, you know, I never quite got over. But my dad, that was the strangest things. You know, my dad, he would buy Fords. I don't know why. Because one thing about my dad, if you ever suggested to him, you should just forgive and forget. No. Those are not words that of joy to my dad.
Nobody in the Middle East forgives and forgets. They're still bitching about stuff that happened 7,000 years ago.
There's a lot of people doing
that.
Yeah.
I suppose that is true.
No, I know Henry wasn't. No,
so, Doug, let me take my takeaway from what you just said. So, people should be upset if you delivered big for somebody for 36 years and then they get rid of you?
It happens. So last year we were in the opposite position. I was working and you were unemployed, and so I was calling you all the time going, what are you going to do, and hang in there and let's sort through all this sort of stuff.
Right.
It happens, and it's a weird feeling. But like I said, if you got a great job, because you'll have a great job until the day you don't. Keep up on your LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, I mean, the problem that I have with it all, and I not getting too involved in this, but in your case, my case, and several other cases I've heard of, it is political.
Oh, yeah.
That if it's always political, which I just don't understand. Our political parties are far too powerful in this country. We need to get them to back off. I mean, Mike, unless you believe it, well, Mike and I were talking about it at the beginning of the show. Unless you agree with everything I say, I hate you. Like, what?
Yeah, there was that story in the paper a couple of days ago about, you know, the Trump people are hiring people to work in their campaign, and apparently one of the first questions they ask is, do you believe the election was stolen? Mm-hmm. And of course, if you say no, I don't, then they thank you and say thanks for coming in.
Keep moving on. Yeah. How about the other side, Mike? Are you going to talk about that too?
No.
I didn't.
Of course not.
I didn't see any stories about that the other day. So.
Well, they did find 20,000 ballots in Michigan that were fake. That was just in the news last night.
Okay.
Well, no, I'm just telling you what was on the national news last night.
Which national news was that?
It was not Fox, believe me, because I can't watch either CNN or Fox. I cannot watch those. Those two, why don't you just get together and destroy America? You got the pukes at Fox, and you got the pukes at CNN. They're horrible people.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is Fox, they already spent, you know, like close to $1 billion because of that. But apparently it wasn't enough to really scare them off.
Because I spent $1 billion on what?
Well, because they were sued for, you know, what was it, 830 million? Was that,
yeah,
was that it?
It was.
Yeah.
For what was that? I didn't even know about that.
For just spewing hate. And you know, a lot of it had to do with the Dominion voting.
Oh, Dominion,
voting,
yeah. That's,
yeah.
The voting. And, but no, I mean, that was a national story.
Yeah.
I still do watch the national news on ABC, NBC, and CBS. It's not great, but it's a hell of a lot better than those two stations.
It's entertaining, I think.
Yeah, I suppose that's
more than anything.
True.
But I don't see a political slant. I see an entertaining slant. I mean, if you really,
yeah,
I like watching ABC especially. But if you really wanted to give people the news, if you wanted to cover a lot of stories, you wouldn't have a 6-minute intro.
They do have a 6-minute intro.
And then the show's over basically by then.
More me now. That's all I have to say.
And our big TV in the basement, when we turn it on, for whatever reason, it's a Fox Live channel that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I watched it for a couple of minutes when Sarah was making dinner, and they're covering the bridge, and they're talking about all this sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep.
And we flipped 5 hours later, shutting everything down, and that comes back. They're still talking about the bridge.
Well, I mean, it's the most miserable story. It's Biden's fault. Did you know that?
No, they didn't say that. But I have heard some people.
There's a lot of that online, but there's a lot of everything online.
Yeah, everything is always the current president's fault.
But can you imagine doing 5 minutes live, 5 hours of live TV about the bridge?
Well, it's like 15 minutes of live TV that they rehash over and over.
No, this was actually a live feed. I don't know what Fox station it is. It's kind of interesting, but. Mm-hmm. And they'll do a lot of live press conferences, and they show the whole thing, you know, the setups. And
well, if you don't do that, if you don't do that, then people are going to tune in, and they're not going to be talking about the bridge, and they'll call in and they'll say, "Why aren't you talking about the bridge?"
Yeah,
and they can't say, "I already talked about it."
Yeah, because, you know. But the bridge is a natural because of all the video.
Yeah.
Everything has video from every angle these days.
Yeah, but
nothing can happen without being shot from 10 angles.
But I mean, there you get to watch the bridge collapse, and you get to watch a carrier on the water that's like 10 football lengths long.
It is, yeah, it's huge.
And maybe that's too much.
Yeah, maybe a little hard to steer, I would imagine.
I didn't verify this, but one of the things that was interesting they were talking about on Fox was. These super cargo ships, do you know how many containers they carry?
Oh, God. Tons of them.
20,000.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Lots of 20,000.
Yeah, it's like 90,000 tons or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just an insane what could go wrong?
Yeah.
It is absolutely true.
And now they're saying that the story I saw today seemed to suggest that what caused the accident was filthy fuel.
That's not true at all. It was the fact that the steering went wrong.
Yeah, but that's the whole point of that. They're saying it went wrong because of the filthy fuel. It just blew out the electrical system.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just telling you what they're saying today.
Who knows? You can't believe anything the news tells you. I don't care where it's done.
Filthy fuel sounds like an 80s movie.
It kind of does.
It's like about the drag race circuit.
Or the matinee at Jake's.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Oh, how would you know?
I mean,
I think my wife's listening.
So. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What? I don't know what you're talking about.
Through context.
I was at a, I was doing a promo once in that general vicinity, and I got out of there. The casino. I think it was in a casino, as I recall. So I'm driving home, and I look out in the distance. There's Jake's. I heard a lot about Jake's, and I needed to use the men's room anyway. So I go in there. The first person I see is a guy I know, a guy who worked for the St. Paul newspaper. It's like the first thing I saw, and that guy he's like he's got his shirt off, and there's like five strippers around him, and I thought to myself, you know what? You don't talk about me, I won't talk about you, even though I wasn't actually doing anything wrong except urinating, you know. But he might have been too, for all I know.
So I have a strip club story, and I wasn't in it. So I had a salesman working for me, and it was his birthday, and his name was Ted Williams, of all things.
There you go.
Is he a lefty?
And this is probably 1989 or 90 or something like that. And so he goes down to Rick's in the middle of the day with a couple of the guys, and one of them comes back, and he goes, I know it's not your deal, but we got to take care of Teddy. He's down there surrounded by strippers buying $100 bottles of champagne. It's just a car wreck.
And they're not even champagne. That's
right.
The worst part.
Right. There's no sex in the champagne room, Chris Rock. So we drive back down there, and I walk in, and it's like 3 in the afternoon, and there's Dan Gladden and Al Newman at one table, and they're pissed because all the girls are hanging out with Ted Williams, taking all his money. So we grab Ted, throw him in the car. He passes out in the car. Take him to his roommate's house down by the airport, out by the vet's hospital. And wake him up, goes inside, and he starts making breakfast. And he's still completely shit-faced. Mm. I said, oh, you're having breakfast for dinner. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, it's 6 o'clock. He goes, morning, right? I said, no, it's 6 o'clock at night. And he goes, oh, shit, it's still my birthday. He calls a cab, and he heads back down there. I'm dude, you're mad at your money.
That's unbelievable. When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. You judge them both by the results of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours, too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market and the economy, and he knows how to plan for your retirement. Don't put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Tom Bernard is a paid endorser.
Dan Gladden and Elma Newman are pissed because all the girls are ignoring them. And I don't know if they'd won their second World Series, but they'd won their first.
Well, Al Newman, you know, he probably was not a chick magnet. I'm just thinking, you know.
Well, if you'd seen my friend Ted, he was he looked like a detour sign himself.
Remember when Al Newman, he had some terrible medical problems, and he wound up in a coma for like
I do remember that
a week, yeah. And the only reason I say that is because I naturally had to observe something, and I said that he's the only guy I knew who gained 10 pounds in a coma.
Oh my God, that's
you know
nice.
How,
terrible thing to
how
say.
How unfortunate would it be if you're a black guy and your parents name you Alfred Newman?
Alfred Newman, Al Newman. Yeah, he. That's interesting. You bring up Dan Gladden and Al Newman because they used to hang out a lot together. Mm-hmm. They both hated my guts. It
really?
Was hilarious. Oh, God, they both hated me.
Oh, they would hate my guts, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Mike. You'd be hated, too. There's no question. Because you tell the truth.
Well, and also, I like to have a little fun with very famous and rich people.
Yes. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's just, I mean, why not? They got all the everything going for them, the way I see it. So just a little joke, you know?
Yeah.
Like a little Rod Carew joke, you know?
Particularly Rod Carew jokes, exactly. By the way, I just got a text message on my phone from someone, and he didn't say who it is, but apparently some high-ranking official in the United States was talking about the bridge in Baltimore, and he said, apparently to this guy, he said, I cannot tell you how many times I've taken the train across that bridge. There are no trains.
No, that's not
a
railroad bridge.
So you're trying to make yourself look good, and you have no idea
you know,
what the hell you're talking
about. In fairness, the Minneapolitans, or people from the 7-county mosquito control district, did exactly the same thing when 35W went down.
Mm. Yes.
I just went over that 4 weeks ago. It's like, well, it's a bridge. Of course, everybody went over it. You're not that special.
I am also
the special
impacted.
People are the ones that fell into the water and lived.
I went over that bridge once.
And that was it?
Just once. And because, you know, it was an easy, a lot of people took the bridge to get to the studio, KQ studio near Dinky Town. But I tried it once, and that thing was bobbing and weaving, and I just said, that's it, I'm not doing this anymore. Not that I saw what was coming, but still, it just made me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, Andy can tell you that My daughter Alex, his sister Alex, was working for Bilski over at North American Banking Company, and she was on her way home, and she always went over that bridge, but she, for some reason, was a little late.
Mm-hmm.
She would have been on that bridge probably had she left work on time.
Yeah.
So there must be a God. That's all I have to say.
Alex is never on time,
that
right?
That seals it for me.
Yeah, well, that's a very good point. She's never on time anyway. Yeah. So I guess what's going to happen.
It always amazes me when people say something like, oh, man, you know, I saw the bridge fell down. And the thing is, you know, it was like I was going to pick you up. And if I'd picked you up, I probably, you know, would have been on that bridge at that time.
Everybody loves to say that.
Yeah, I know. And
it's like the 5 billion people that went to Woodstock.
Yeah, exactly. Right, I know a lot about that.
Mm-hmm. The back row was in the Atlantic Ocean, apparently.
Because I was a freshman in college, and I talked to hundreds of people who were at Woodstock.
Nah, I never had any... Can you imagine going to a concert that had 500,000 people at it anyway?
You couldn't hear anything.
No.
What's the point?
Oh, God, it must have been horrible.
No, but the problem is you couldn't hear anything, which I could tolerate, but you can't wash anything.
Yeah.
Mm. You couldn't.
And that's where I'm out of there.
I can do drugs and wallow in filth at home.
Biggest concert I've ever been. I don't think I've ever been to a really massive one like that.
I haven't either.
Just no desire, really.
Well, the ones over... when I was at Capitol Records, I used to have to, I can't even remember where the hell it was, but there were some big crowds there. But I had easy access to the stage, so it didn't bother me. Cause
did you fly, you were one of those guys in the helicopter?
Maybe.
Maybe. Now that would be one, that would be different. That would be fascinating.
I saw the Dixie Chicks at the XL Energy Center. And that was really the only huge arena show I think I've ever seen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was pretty good, actually, for what it was.
The X is, and sound systems are so good right now. I don't mind big shows at the X and Target. They sound really good. But I prefer smaller, like the State Theater and the Orpheum.
Oh, those are great.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Fitzgerald over wonderful. In St. Paul, the Palace, you know, that hold maybe about 1,000 people. I think that's about
perfect. But the Palace, you have to stand there.
No, you can. There's seating on
there's
the balcony.
There's some seating, yeah. But
they call it the lodge, I think.
But
so.
I think if there was a, you know, if there was like a really great band playing there, you know, like Jason Isbell and the 400, which is a show I saw there. No, it's like here I am. I'm an elderly man, and I have to stand for 3.5 hours.
No, I don't like it either. And my wife's 4'11", so she always finds the 6'8" guy that's going to stand right.
Oh,
in
always.
Front of her.
Yep. Oh, and the guy's not only 6'8", he's wearing a hat.
Right.
And
that's right.
And to
got
make
a
it
top
just
hat on.
To make it better, like, and this I knew this would happen, but I had next to me, and you know, everybody's like touching each other, which is disgusting. You know, I mean, it's never the right people touching me anyway.
Yeah.
And this woman, she's standing next to me, and she's singing along. And it's like, there was an intermission, and at the intermission, I took out my ticket, you know, and I kind of caught her attention and said, I keep looking at this ticket, but I don't see you on it.
There was an old SNL skit with, what's her name? Victoria Jackson?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At a Van Morrison concert, and she's in front of Will Ferrell and his wife on a date.
Yeah.
And she insists on standing up and dancing to every song.
Of course.
It's hysterically funny.
Well, I experienced that at a Van Morrison concert. And the funny thing is, who would want to dance or do anything to a Van Morrison concert? You know, basically if it's after, say, 1965.
Right.
Because he's a complete asshole.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to entertain anyone. He finds it, he's indignant about the fact that people are forcing him to play because he's got all this money.
Arrogant.
Yeah, he really.
I saw him at Northrop about 15 years ago, and he was terrific. But the band, you could tell, was terrified of him.
Yeah.
I mean, he just gave everybody the stink eye. And,
well, he's always just derided the band.
Yeah.
And there's never one there that's constant because he fires all of them anyway, and he talks about how shitty they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's known for that.
Yeah.
He was my favorite musician when I was in high school.
Yeah. He's a great songwriter and a great, I mean, he's got a one octave range. I mean, he really has no singing well, natural talent, yeah. but he's got a such right. great tone and phrasing. He just he's great, but then, he's a yeah, great
just,
asshole. Too.
Just a jerk. I mean, but back then, you know, the first album was Astral Weeks,
yeah.
which was a killer.
Yeah,
and I think the second one was probably Moondance.
I think you're
it's
right.
a Marvelous Night. I know
yeah.
that.
Yeah, right. So that was a great album too. And but then he decided, you know, why not put out two albums a year? And that's where things went bad very quickly. And then he became this incredible jerk, you know. Yeah. I mean, you know if he's hanging out with Eric Clapton.
You know, and it's funny you bring that up because Eric is the reason that I started playing electric guitar. He was musically, he was a big hero of mine for a long time. I went on and learned about other people, but and then as a person, and it's really just been, well, actually there were some incidents back in the 70s, but it's in the last 10 years he's gone completely mental.
Yeah.
It's like, Eric, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Was it drugs?
No, he's been straight for a long time.
But was it the drugs that turned him into a prick?
I don't know.
Way back in the day?
Well, there was some racial incidents that he got. I think it was
really?
In the early 80s. He was drunk in some bar in London screaming yep. about all the Pakistanis invading England. And
yeah.
So he was right on the money.
It was kind of almost as bad as, shit, what's his name now? He's not from Australia. Everybody thinks he is. The actor, Mel Gibson.
Oh, yeah.
When he went deep on the cops and the Jews and all this sort of stuff, yeah. Eric kind of did the same thing.
And the cop was a Jew?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes, yeah.
he was a Jew.
He goes
on the cops and the Jews, and the cop was a Jew.
Yep.
I saw one of his movies once, and it was playing at, like, the Man Quadriplex or yep. something.
Sure.
Sounds like someone who's paralyzed. Maybe I got the name
indeed.
Wrong.
Indeed, indeed.
But what I did was I just bought a ticket to see another movie, and then I went in to see his movie because I wasn't going to contribute to the box
I
office.
See.
I felt very smug about that, and I'm sure it bothered him to this day.
So here's interesting Mel trivia. He is an American.
Yeah.
And his father, a famous Nazi sympathizer, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Won on Jeopardy and took the money and moved him to Australia. That's how they wound up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. And then did he move his Catholic church there too?
Yeah, he was into some weird stuff. The old Latin masses where the priests have their back to congregation.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yep.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jesus was going to go all the way. That's
yeah.
all.
They all do. Oh my God, the show's over. I just looked at my show. You guys have been on for an hour already.
Boy, well, that's
an hour long show, right?
Well, I like it like 54 minutes.
Okay,
you know.
Sorry.
Just kidding. All right, any closing words?
If you have car questions, I'm back in the game, or I will be shortly. People know how to get a hold of me on Facebook, and I don't know what my email address is going to be down there yet, but I'm going to shoot for doug@harrybrowns.com, but we'll see what happens.
Are they going to let you come and do the show once in a while?
Well, I think they're listening to this one, and then based on... Probably not.
Talked about Nazis, Jews.
Yep, that's
about
right.
Pakistanis. They brought them all up.
Yep, yeah. yep. They insulted pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
I didn't.
If I'd known, I probably would have turned the heat on really high.
Goddamn Norwegians.
Yeah, exactly. All right. We will talk to you later. Thanks
see you later, Tommy.
See ya.
Bye.
On my arms, the chill on my neck. I think of you every time I see my breath. You leave my body feeling icy and wrecked. Your love was the heat of the summer. That sunny smile, your pretty eyes, your lipstick color. Why did you have to go? The sun is gone and here comes snow.